The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler. And each week we rotate through different growth strategies and industries and locations. And, you know, it's like a peer-to-peer-to-peer program where the guests and the hosts and the listeners are all CEOs and presidents of mid-sized companies. And typically it's the $20 to $200 million range. So you feel you're amongst your peers here. You're going to find we don't dumb it down. We're not trying to appeal to everybody in the world. We don't explain things like what's an acquisition or what's an IPO. So if you have any questions when you're listening to the show and you need some definitions and such, let me invite you right from the beginning. Email me at aldana@ambler.com, A-L-D-O-N-N-A, at Ambler, A-M-B-L-E-R.com, or you can call me toll-free at 1-888-ALDANA and suggest some guests and give us some topics. So what are we talking about today? Well, what I wanted to do for the September 2009 programs is I chose three people that I feel really are embodying the idea behind passion and energy, mission-driven, purpose-driven kind of people, because I find that they have a resilience that you truly need during a recession. There's the no-excuse mentality, the idea of you're looking for opportunities while everybody else is whining about the recession. These are the folks that are out there taking names and getting contracts, and I want you to hear how they sound. And my assignment to you in these three shows that we're doing is I want you to listen to how they sound. Listen to how they think. It's not just the topic. It's what's the logic? What's the sequence of, you know, what did you do next and how did you do this and where did that go? They aren't, you know, they're really bright. They're capable people, but they're you know what? They're you. You're like this. And somehow the summer and the TV and the web and the government and all this stuff, it's kind of taken the spark out of some really energetic, very bright people. So if these three folks can get you re-energized, I've done something for you. So that's the purpose of these three shows. Watch what happens when you listen to them a couple of times. If you find yourself going backwards and saying, well, that's not me, this is ridiculous, that's them, I could not be like that, you're the person who needs to listen to it again. Because if that energy has gotten sucked out of you, think about the impact you have on your employees. Think about the impact you have on your customers. And that dampening of your loss of spirit is expensive. So whatever you need to do to have the passion back and the belief in your system and belief in your company and know that you can take it to the next level while everybody else is whining and crying and has the energy sapped out of them, whatever you need to do to get it back, you need to do. So the madder you get at these three guests and these three shows, the more you need to listen. Have I been strident enough? That's what these are for. So this show, I'm featuring a CEO of STG International. I'm going to introduce her in a few minutes. But just think about this. Can you imagine that you are a first-generation immigrant from Taiwan to the United States? You start a business with essentially nothing, and you see yourself as a librarian. Anybody excited yet? That sounds a little scary. That doesn't sound, you know, like it's got all thought out and everything makes sense that this person's going to be a multimillionaire. Oh, yeah? Go back to the attitude in 12 years to go from zero to 133 million. You excited yet? And be on the lists of, you know, the Inc. 500 lists them as the fastest growing privately held company, blah, blah, blah. For four consecutive years, beginning in 2006, Washington Smart CEO Magazine honored them as one of the greater Washington area's Future 50 companies. And Washington Technology Magazine included the firm in its Fast 50. Both awards, they speak really to the company's exponential growth. Are you getting those kind of awards? Now think about it. I'm going to say it again. a first-generation immigrant, it went from zero to 133 million in 12 years. What are they doing passion-wise that you need to hear? Okay? And then you're going to hear from a couple of other guests in the next few shows. One guy's business basically is embroidery for uniforms. Not too exciting. That's not the point. Nothing's exciting if it's, you know, if you're not got passion about it, if you're not into being the CEO that's driving it. Nothing has glitz and glamour. I know somebody who runs an aquarium, and the guy's so passionate about fish, he can't shut up. I don't necessarily know if I could get all exercised about fish, but thank goodness he can. You get it? And so the sub-theme of this is you never know who your next million-dollar customer might be. Now, before I introduce the guest, because I got you interested in who she is, people have asked me to be a little more clear and offer a little bit more information about my journey because, you know, I'm doing this show for lots and lots of reasons. One of them is, you know, I've been a growth strategist for 38 years, and I've grown six companies and won a couple dozen Entrepreneur of the Year awards. So, you know, I've lived an interesting life. It's not been, I don't think I've ever had a day in my life that's been boring. And it's been over 800 clients that I've helped get on the Inc. 500 and get them to stay there through strategic planning and follow-through. So let me tell you a couple of things that I've noticed in my years of doing this and the clients that I've worked with. The ones that have been able to sustain, go to that next level. A couple of things that they have as traits. One trait that I would start with is if you ask the people who are doing this what it is about their character, what it is about their background, maybe their genetics, that helps them do this. There's a humility about it, interestingly enough. They'll say things like, well, you know, our family's hardworking. Or we're known for being stubborn. Or when we start something, I don't know what it is about us, we just like to finish it. And there's no stopping us. We do, you know, we believe in some things, and I know it's going to be difficult. We don't always win. We don't always get everything right. But there's something about us where we follow through. That's how they sound. How that sounds to employees, how that sounds to customers, is that that person has integrity. One person's stubbornness, and we're just going to follow through and we meant what we said, is another person's integrity. So there's your first thing. Think about it. If you get tired, if you get, you know, the energy's kicked out of you, you wonder if you need to do this. Flip the words. If you've been trying to be, you're worried that you're being too stubborn or maybe mule-headed or maybe you should give up, flip it and ask yourself, what would you do if you were coming from a position of integrity? What should your company do for you to have the credibility with your customers and the people around you? Gives a pretty clear answer for most of us. It makes you stop whining. It makes you say, if I need some help, I'll get some help. It means if I need a vacation to be in, or to sleep or something so I have some energy so I can follow through and do what I said I was going to do, you do it instead of pausing and saying, maybe I should just quit. Okay, there's number one. Second thing I've noticed is that, and you've read this before, you know this, I'm going to say it again. Something about the people who have the energy to take their business to the next level, that they surround themselves by bright people. There is something, and maybe it's that word humility again. Some of the best and brightest people I've ever met are these ones that take it to that next level and have that stamina, but they're not intimidated by having employees that are bright, capable, can step up, so that they're the ones that have a controller who truly does know the budget. And maybe a CFO that can run the scenarios and negotiate with the banks. And these CEOs are not threatened by the fact that they have someone else who can also talk money language. I've noticed that people who stay small are the ones that think that they need to be the only ones representing to the bank, the only ones that somebody can talk to about what kind of risk they're taking, the only ones that can think about how much distribution they're doing for owners. Well, why? You still have the bottom line control. You still have the title. But wouldn't it be cool if some of the scenarios, some of the analysis, some of the thinking, some of the in-depth working of the numbers was done by more than just you? What if you got tired? What if you were busy doing sales, busy doing, you know, recruiting executives, negotiating a big contract? You know, that part of your brain that would be lost in minutia and the linear thinking of calculations? Ask yourself if that's the best way to spend your time. So you've heard it before, but now ask yourself if, over the summer, because I've seen it a lot in people, if the energy's gotten kicked out of you, just pause for a minute as you hear me. Scan the people who are around you at the top. Are they the ones that are going to get things done? Are they the ones that are going to see a problem and they sit up at night and they're kind of, you know, going over it, and they come into you with proposals of, you know what, I've noticed this, it's not okay, this is the system I think we need to get. Are they recommending changes? Are they researching options? Are they solving a problem? Or are they going home at 5 and it's still on your mind? Now, how could I possibly be saying this if you're between 20 and 200 million? How could you have gotten that big if you were still micromanaging and hanging on to control? Well, that's one of the reasons that 20 million is a plateau for lots of presidents. And here's the third thing. The third thing that I've noticed is that the journey in a career, it's like a not attached to any one identity. So in other words, if you started out as an engineer, you started out as a librarian, you started out as a social worker, I don't care. The people who are driving the businesses to the next levels know that it isn't just the business that's going to another level. Their career is evolving. They can start as an engineer, and they become a manager of engineers. Then they become the president of a company or head of sales, which is a very different job, very different job. They're the type that would go to school and read books and get counseling or get coaches or get mentors to learn what does it mean to be a president instead of just a lead engineer. And then there's the shift to CEO, which is not the same. Some people just put a new title on their business card and think it's the same job as president, and it's not. It's an evolution, and your role changes. And just because you're an owner, just because you have a fancy title on the business card, doesn't mean that they've had the skill, that they've learned the new approach. Now, what in your mind, what's the difference between a president and a CEO? In my mind, the CEO has much more of the external focus around what's going on in the marketplace, the relationships, the longer-term vision. And sometimes, to me, they end up being the one that's centered. That when other people around them are focused on implementation or day-to-day or short-term, these are the people who can be calm in the midst of insanity. They're the ones that can ask the right questions. They won't necessarily know all the answers. But the mind gets trained when you're in a CEO role to ask the probing questions, to have the sequence of what you're thinking about make sense. It's not scattered. It has a, if we do this, how would it play out? Walk me through it. Have you thought about what's the synergy between the financial side of this and the management side of it? It's almost like you could list 100 questions that a good CEO asks, and that's what their job is. To have an open mind so that they can see something shift, to be able to ask questions that keep people thinking and solving problems, but they're not the ones that tell people what to do on a day-to-day basis, because that's slipping back not just into president, that's slipping back into being the supervisor of engineers. Are you on a journey that paralyzes or parallels the journey of your business? And if it's stalling and if it's hitting plateaus, it might not be the economy, the market, or even your business. It could be your indecision about your career. Now, I'm going to introduce my guest after the break. This is The Growth Strategist with Eldonna Ambler. We'll be right back.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ELDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Hi, I can't come to the phone right now because I'm abusing my children. Not just verbally, but physically. I'll get back to you.
If only child abuse was this easy to recognize. If you even suspect abuse, call Child Help at 1-800-4-A-CHILD or visit childhelp.org. We've helped millions of people help millions of children. All calls are anonymous and confidential, so call 1-800-4-A-CHILD or visit childhelp.org. Child Help. Trust your instincts. Brought to you by Child Help and the Ad Council.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler. And I feel a little strident today because I'm seeing some people getting the energy sucked out of them this summer. And this is the wake-up call. I'm doing two or three shows here that are about, you know, how do you keep the passion? How do you keep your enthusiasm for your business? And I found three or four role models that I'm doing for these shows, and I'm trying to be as open as I can about, you know, to sustain my energy over 38 years and create six businesses and all the things that I've done. Frankly, it has been energy management and optimism and changing your role and being fluid that's made a big difference for me. So one of the guests, I'm so excited that she's on the program. Michelle, you there?
Yes.
Hello, Michelle Lee, who is the CEO of STG. Listen to all these letters. The CEO of STG International. Now, I've given a little hint to the people listening about your journey. You know, the first generation immigrant, Taiwan, et cetera. I want to know a little bit about how you started in business. Not everybody knows your background. Could you give me just a little bit of that?
Sure. Aldana, first of all, it's a thrill for me to be here to share my experience with my fellow entrepreneurs and people
fun,
who
are
my peers.
Yes, it's fun.
This is very exciting. I actually came to this country in 1982. I had no intention of staying. I'm here to get a degree. I'm going to go home. But life has a way of going along the journey exactly not what you have planned.
Mm-hmm.
And where I am today was I was trained to be a librarian, and I started doing everything there is to be about a librarianship. I was an excellent librarian, but that wasn't the story. The story was I wanted to start a company, and I knew everything there is to know about government contracting for services, including library services.
Oh, so you would work with the government as a librarian?
Yes, I work in the government contracting world as a librarian. I worked for contractors.
Okay.
That's how I knew everything there is to know about contracting.
So why did you want to start a business?
I think my father had a huge impact on me, and Chinese, they tend to pay a little bit more attention to boys. My father is the exact opposite. My father always believed girls are can do anything there is to be done.
Good for him. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is really the truth. I have three brothers and one sister, but he always believed girls are, you can accomplish anything there is in the world if you concentrate.
Now, how did you start a business related to being a librarian?
Actually, librarianship, library service is what I know.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided that's what I should start.
Right.
So I started the business in 1997,
mm-hmm.
and in my basement. I wasn't going to go out and get a new, beautiful office. I decided I would start in my basement. And I immediately got some clients and together that they wanted the services in the Washington, D.C.
To do what?
And to provide, hire librarians to provide the services to the Department of Health and Human Services, to various departments within the government agencies.
So you had enough nerve to go in and find out who the procurement officers are, who does the bid, who needs librarians. You know, you had some moxie and some, you know, you weren't timid. You went and knocked on doors and found out how they did it.
No fear. Aldana, cannot have any fear in your life. As I was starting my business, I was determined, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make it successful.
Mm-hmm.
When I finally rent my first office space, I told my landlord, I said, you know, I will be needing a whole lot more space. Will you be ready for me? he was shocked.
Yeah, he looked back and you're like, sure.
A lot of small business doesn't even make it.
Right. Especially in government. One of the things I'd like to hear is there's an intimidation factor with government contracts, all the paperwork, all the administration, the waiting, the hurry up and wait, the image that it's all wired and somebody else is going to get it because they pay political money. That didn't bother you?
No, really, you cannot have this kind of fear. And I have to say, United States of America really has the very best procurement systems. You have to believe that the process is fair and it's a sunshine process. And I do. I believe in that. Compared to anywhere in the world, this is a mature procurement process that our country has.
You know how many times I have found that people from other countries can see that much better than the native because, you know, there's the cynicism that develops, you know?
I totally agree. But you just have to go at it. And I started with something I know. There is not one thing in the library world that I can't do myself. So it's a very safe place. However, I cannot always stay this safe area.
So,
comes up, that's what I jump in.
I want to make sure the listeners hear the things you're doing now. At $133 million, you're at like a 1,700 employees. There's 100 people in headquarters now that are recruiters, HR, finance, business development. 65% of your work is in medical services where you're placing physicians and nurses. You have a human capital management division that's doing planning and executives. You have a Head Start division for the health and human services. Wow. I mean, listen to the journey, folks, from zero and in her home and knocking on doors to get her first contract for librarians. What a journey. Are there phases to this 12 years?
Yes, we were. We started out as a librarian company, and we continue to grow. And people love what we're doing for them, the quality work, the good references, happy customer, competitive pricing. They love all these. So they continue to invite us to do more work. And if I when I started the healthcare staffing services, provide medical services, if I were scared, you know, and when opportunity knocked, what I did was I faced right up and meet up with the challenges, got the professional liability insurance that I needed, got all the necessary insurance because lots of things can go wrong in medical services. So no fear. Get it ready. Be ready when the opportunity came. And healthcare services, the staffing is exactly what happened. We continue to grow in that area. We have 36 different states in America plus Puerto Rico that we're doing business. It's quite a journey, really.
And you're not done yet? Now, what I want to do is go back.
Not at all.
In growing this, were there a few key employee, key hires that made a difference to help you grow?
Absolutely. If I can do it all by myself, I would be dead a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the plan was not to work yourself to death.
Yeah.
However, hiring people who are a lot smarter than me, and then trust them, empower them, let them do the right thing for you, is what I have in mind.
Give me a few examples. Has it been like the accountant? Has it been the recruiters? Has it been a general manager? Who have been a couple of the key hires?
Some of the key hires really are like my finance chief. Hire him out of MBA school. I knew how government contract works, so we worked together, we grew together. And the people in charge of operations, very important. You need to trust their judgment. The business development people, including how to put together a winning proposal. I've never won any business without a proposal. So making sure my proposal always stack up to everybody else's and win is my strategy. The key is that hire the best people and make sure they're smarter than you, because I can't be everywhere at all time. There's no way. However, make sure you are in touch with your customer.
Now,
I am constantly
people,
in touch with my customer.
A lot of the people I know who are specializing in government, they've had a difficulty with that proposal writer business development position. It becomes like a revolving door, and they have to go through four or five of them to get the right one. Did you have that happen to you?
No, we have my proposal director has been with us. We continue to promote Nadine. It's just she is part of the group. She knows when she needs to fully engage entire staff that she has. We give her the power to make decision, and at the end of the day, she gets the kudos that deserve. That she deserves. This is the way to really encourage your people. And she celebrates with us. She also cries with me when we don't win. So this is the kind of people that you must have.
So now, where'd you find her and how long ago?
Actually, we did find her through recruitment. We have a serious recruitment machine here because finding the right people for the right job is important. She's going on with us for 4 or 5 years now. This is a very important process. You can grow your talents in your own company. That's one way. Go out and hire the top gun. That's another way. What we do is as a combination for all of our key position. Some of them we grew ourselves, but sometimes you outgrow them. So that's another concern of ours. So what we do is we constantly making sure that I'm giving them the opportunity to continue to soak up the new knowledge, the new technology, so we can all grow together.
Is there some secret in your interviewing process, because there's good candidates and folks have a really hard time spotting the Nadines in the world and knowing that's the one to pick? What are some of your secrets to that?
I think the key is, do they have the same drive as you do? Do they share the same passion as you do? I feel passionate about librarianship. I feel passionate about Head Start. And when you write these proposal, that passion needs to transcend into the readers of your proposal. We call it the evaluation panel. The panel needs to feel the compassion that you have for what you're conveying, and that's what you do. If they don't have the fire in their bellies, so-called, then they're not with you because you cannot generate that. They have to walk in the door with it.
So what are some of the questions you ask in the interview to really find out if someone's got some passion instead of just some competence?
I think here the question is, what do you consider a success? And what can we as STG International, me as the owner of the company, what can I do to clear the path that you can be successful? Truthfully, Aldana, if my employee, my key people do not feel successful, we're not successful altogether. Mm-hmm. This is what we tell our customer also. I would assume people who are you have weed out and who bring to the table for interview, they're already technically sound. They can do the job.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they can't do the job, you have no you shouldn't be interviewing them.
Right.
That's pretty straightforward. So number one. So then you are looking for a good match in terms of your philosophy, your way of doing things, your passion, and your commitment. And we do not send out any proposal that my people are not proud of. And this is a key to all of our success.
So when we come back, what we'll talk about is philosophies, because that's a part of what you're talking about with, you know, staying energized, going after big accounts, keeping some of your people growing as quickly as you have. So before the break, here we go. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDANA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
McGruff the Crime Dog here with my nephew Scruff. Here's the address for my new free comic activity book.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
It shows kids what to know about guns and drugs and bullies and strangers. And it's got games and puzzles, too. Write it down now.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ad Council.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is the Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and this is one of three programs this month where we really want you to hear about the passion-driven leader. Have you had some of your zest and your energy kind of, you know, sapped out of you this summer? And the idea is, how are you supposed to sound? What do your employees need you to sound like? What do your customers need you to sound like? And if you don't have that kind of energy anymore, what are you going to do to go get it back? Because it's important. It's important. So today's guest is Michelle Lee, and she's the CEO of STG. Now, this is a company that works with government contracts on a major scale. Okay, we're talking about 1,700 employees, and they are employees. We're not talking about just placing people and somebody else has the headache. She's got the headache and the attribute of having 1,700 employees. 100 of them are at headquarters. You know, they have major accounts, but this is over a 12-year period to get to $133 million. So they're on a pretty fast track. So she keeps using the word we. All right, now let me reveal something. You're still the only owner of this, huh?
Correct.
All right, now talk to me about that, because that's a big decision. How come you're still the only owner when you sound like you believe in your employees and they're really wonderful? What's that about?
I think I'm taking a lot of risk every single day. Aldana, we are presented with different opportunities. There are risk of losing the capitals or anything. And I'm willing and able to take the risk. So what I like to do is, what the winning formula really is, to make sure that you put your money on the table and make it successful. And that's where I am. I make it up by making sure our people has the top salary, the best bonuses that is in our industry, so we can keep them energized.
Now, how do you know you can do that? I don't know how even to ask that, because that's the part that scares, oh gosh, so many people. They're good at what they do and they believe in their staff, but then when it comes to, you know, the second mortgage on the house or a line of credit that's really big, they almost stop breathing. How do you have the nerve?
I believe the financial part of the business is critical. You have to make sure that you're profitable, that you can pay the bill. At the end of the day, it's all about money. Do you have the money to pay everybody? You have the money to make sure that all services that are delivered on time and on excellent level. It's my job, and it's my job to make sure that I have all the capitals and also the money in the bank ready and able to support every initiative that we have. And that's my job to make sure I watch every money, every penny that comes in. I also personally wave goodbye to every penny that leave STG International. It's an important task to make sure that you are bringing in the revenues that you need, so you can grow.
Now, see, that's that journey we're talking about, because if you started out as a librarian, going out to get some contracts from some government offices, you wouldn't necessarily be, you know, all astutely trained and deeply entrenched in finance. How did you learn this? Where'd you go to learn all that?
That's a very good question. As you know, I'm Chinese, and we don't like to borrow money. We like to use what we have.
Yeah.
We don't believe in building up a big credit just to go borrow money.
Yep.
So we always know how to live within our means.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the philosophy that I have, making sure that we are expanding not beyond our structured growth. And we know that I'm not interested in using someone else's money on the table to grow. We are able to finance our own growth year after year when we double, when we triple our revenues.
So I think have really seen some people get in trouble because they abdicate almost to their CPAs. and they say, you know, you do the computations and tell me what kind of gross profit I'm making, and they don't really learn, you know, how to read the P&L thoroughly. I'm amazed how many times I've seen a CEO of a $10 million, $20 million company that honestly can't read a balance sheet. Blows my mind.
It is tough for a librarian, I would say.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with a librarian, but we're not used to reading a balance statements and balance sheets, income statements. We're not used to. But this is part of the job I have to learn.
And that's that transition from being librarian, head salesperson, to president, to CEO. If you wouldn't really get completely immersed in the dollars and cents and numbers to know how they work and how cash flow is different from profit, all that, you wouldn't make that career transition well, you know?
I agree.
Did you take some seminars or get a coach? How did you do it?
Actually, I do. I hire the best, like I told you.
Mm-hmm.
I am the marketeer. I'm the number one salesperson. I'm the face of the company.
Somehow I knew that.
Correct.
Yeah, and you can hear
and
it.
So I wouldn't want to go back and crunch the number. I wouldn't want to go back and do the budget. That's not my job.
Mm-hmm.
My job is to hire the best and the brightest who can run these back office functions so I can continue to escort these business in,
mm-hmm.
so we can run them and run them profitably.
But I have a feeling that if somebody gave you a budget that didn't make sense, you'd be able to see the problem.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
That's a number one criteria.
Yeah. You know, it's one of the things I've noticed when people make the career changes through president to CEO. They have an operating level knowledge for every role by then. You know, that the sales manager can't BS them, and the marketing people can't know them with campaigns, and the operations people can't give them excuses about how far behind and we can't do this and our systems don't work, and finance people can't, you know, give them gibberish about dollars and cents and ratios and such. They may not be able to do every single job to the depth of the people they hired, but they understood it enough that they can't be, you know, lied to.
Totally agree. I can see someone trying to BS me 10 miles away because we can't tolerate that.
No.
I've done everything you're doing, mm-hmm. so give me the bottom line. How can we move forward? How can we turn this around? How can we make some money here?
Yeah, and customers can try to do it too by saying, you know, well, I need this much more and you didn't put it in your contract and, you know, try to get over, and that doesn't help anybody either.
Oh, none of our customers do that, I'm sure.
Yes, you're the only ones in the world that ever, never did it, right?
Okay.
I'm looking for some other turning points. You know, at some point, you must have had a decision about how big an account you would go after. Was there some point where you upped the game and you went after a really large account that almost scared everybody?
That's correct. We find ourselves competing with the billion-dollar company.
Wow.
And we have no business competing with them, but we find ourselves competing with the billion-dollar business.
How do you do that?
I don't want to name their name, but this is difficult.
Yeah.
Our resources compared to their deep pockets is impossible. So we found out our best weapon really is our past performances, mm-hmm. from the happy customer,
yeah.
and our solid approach that we have a no-risk proposition for our customer. And then we're not the most expensive one offering out there. And we're able to unseat quite a few, the large billion-dollar company. I'm very proud of that. And quite frankly, that's the only way to grow. You are going against the big giant of your industry. And you look at them, and am I scared? Well, when I'm at home, I am scared.
Yeah, when you let it in,
but,
yeah.
Yes. But when I come into the office, no. No, we are all competing on the level playing field. Let's pull out our very best proposal. Let's compete. And I'm thrilled to report that we recently have beat out some large, large company,
yeah.
in the Head Start community, that we are now one of the largest Head Start company in the country.
That's pretty cool. Now, I remember this too, and it still is. You know, as a strategic planning business, one of my companies is a strategic planning business. And so we're competing against, you know, over the years, it's been the Ernst & Youngs and the McKinseys and the Booz Allen Hamiltons and the Andersons. I mean, it's a whole long list. It used to be called the Big Eight, and then it was six, and then five, and then four, you know.
Correct.
That group, I mean, you know, they have thousands of offices and thousands of employees and individual divisions that go after the specific industry that our bid is going to be in. And that sometimes some of them would pay money to buy a platform, say at a conference where they felt that people were looking for consultants, and say, we're going to be the sponsor of this event. If you make sure you don't have the following speakers, and they would have my name on there, as they would buy the platform to keep me as a competitor away. So that there's a lot of that kind of stuff going on with the big players. Once they find out a little company is biting at their heels and might actually get a big contract.
Correct.
There's some stuff like that that happens. So this is,
correct.
They have some stamina and some guts to stand up to that.
Okay. We just beat some of those large company you name. This is very important to us. This is something that we want to do. Is one of our growth strategy is to take away their customer, take away their big contract.
Now, do you do that by going after a smaller piece first? Do you do that by focusing on a specialization? Do you do it by certification? Do you do it by knowing more people? How do you get that first entree to take a piece of their action?
You really need to know your market, the market that you're going into. You need to know, study, research, all the background information, study up. That's what we do. We know our market space, and then we look at it vertically, we look at it horizontally, and most importantly, we look at the adjacent market. What can we do to broaden our service offering, and what does the Big Eight, the big billion-dollar company, what can they do that we cannot do? Pretty much, there is nothing that they can do, we can't. And most importantly, me as the owner, I am willing and able to go out and sit down with our customer to find out heart-to-heart, face-to-face, how are we doing? Are you happy with STG International? I'm not sure the Big Eight, the owner, the managing partners, the presidents, I don't think they go out as often as you and I do.
That's one of the lessons, and as we go to the break, I want everybody to think about that. As you're going after bigger and bigger accounts, remember that some of the huge competitors have gotten complacent and assume that they're the only ones that deserve it. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Amble. We'll be right back with Michelle Lee, who's the CEO of STG International.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
In 1977, an 8-year-old boy picked up the game of golf from his father. The odds of that same boy winning the U.S. Open twice? 1 in 1.2 billion. The odds of him having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. Ernie Else encourages you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. And this was one part of a three-part series on leading your business with passion and purpose and energy. And, you know, having that investment and always taking it to the next level, where does that come from and how do you sustain it? And I have three people in a row here that are living that journey. And if you don't sound like that, if you don't feel like that after having some energy kicked out of you this last year in the summer, play this show and the next one and the next one again, I want you to listen to what it sounds like when people still have energy after 12 years and 133 million, after 14 years and 46 million. I want you to listen to how they sound. Michelle Lee is my guest today, and she's the CEO of STG International. That's a lot of letters. And basically, you know, they're placing really star people for some big government contractors. They know how to do that really, really well. And they're up against some billion-dollar competitors. And so one of the questions I'd like to ask you is, okay, you went from being a solo librarian, basically, to being a CEO of this 1,700-person firm. Are there anybody behind you that would have the nerve you do that maybe would want to be a partner? Is there somebody that, you know, at some point, is there a succession plan? Tell me where this ownership stuff's headed, if you can.
Our plan is really at this time is to continue to grow the company, and we are looking at how can we retain the good people who has helped us along the way.
Yeah.
We're looking at a different way to compensate and to carve out pieces of it. So we're still studying that ourselves to make sure that we have a good model in place.
And it's a big question. I'm not having you commit to something that you haven't figured out yet, but I know it's a question. When I was growing the strategic planning firm, and I was still the only owner, we got to the 143 full-time consultants. And it's not, you know, the 1,700 that you're talking about, but that's a really large firm for strategic planning and 6 offices international, all that. And, you know, there's some big decisions to make about how do you keep the consultants happy. And I noticed that a lot of them are really good at taking care of the clients, and they love the work, and they could lead the departments and account management and such. Marvelous people. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're entrepreneurial and willing to take those risks that it takes to, you know, pony up the money to open a branch. And, you know, so I was doing what you're talking about. When we went through an ESOP that took about 7 years, because I also noticed that some consultants that, you know, they weren't as entrepreneurial, they needed a little bit of time to save, to invest, to get used to the idea, to take on responsibility of ownership. It was interesting to see how that transformation in them happened. So it took about 7 years. And we got to the point where, all right, now we have to deal with succession, who's going to be the next CEO if, you know, when I'm ready to go. That took a while. And interestingly, I thought there were like 3 people of the group that could have been fine at doing it, and none of them were quite ready. They had kind of assumptions in their head they had to do it the same way I did. I ended up having to sell my 40% stake. I kept it down to about 40, to someone else to buy the business for that chunk of the business, because nobody else was really ready to step up. And that's been, that, I don't know, you know, I've done all this kind of stuff for other people, but somehow when I lived through it myself, there was that one gap. What do you think's going to happen? I mean, you're real young and all that, so maybe it seems like it's all way off in the future, but are you
thinking through? It is a tough direction to head down to. Mm-hmm. I've been used to taking the risk, calling the shots. At the end of the day, I make a decision, we go or no go, and I take full responsibility. If we lose, it's my money. There's no one else has had any risk.
Right.
And so in my mind, I do plan to really look into what's the best way to reward everybody.
Yeah.
Money does motivate most of the people.
Sure.
And my plan is, I'm actually listening very carefully to what you just mentioned. This is something that we're going to be taking on in the next few years.
Yeah, you just look at it. I mean, I'm not recommending anything because I don't know you well enough, but it's on the order of, you know, I noticed that when someone had like 1% ownership, they don't really have any more say than they did the day before, but boy, do they feel like they do. And I found having 33 partners, you know, and that means they're partners and they see the financials and such, that was easier than when I had a 50-50 ownership in a company.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because you're 50-50, where do you go if you disagree?
Mm-hmm.
And when you have, you can have 33 partners as long as you have 51%. It still comes down to whether or not you listen to people, but it's still you. That's taken the, you know, the biggest hits. Anyway, I just was curious where you're headed with that. Now, right now, what's your biggest issue? Is it going after the next big account or the government being messed up? What's your biggest concern at this point?
We are looking at the government's budget with a very critical eyes because Obama administration comes in with a specific agenda. So it is critical for us to really know where the money is flowing. Mm-hmm. We go where the money goes. We follow the money. We follow the money trail. When an agency has no money, the program is going to be cut. So we are looking at who has the most program that we can contribute to, number one. Number two, we look at our competitors. We look at them with a critical eye because they are the one who I want to be when I grow up. How do I be the next big giant in our industry? We wanted to study their growth and their patterns and look at what they have because by taking away their business, mm-hmm. that's how we can grow also. So we're looking at how can we be not be complacent mm-hmm. on where we are already and also making sure our costs are not stacking up year after year after year. It's very easy to become complacent. We refuse to be complacent.
Yeah, and one of the things I noticed is from a lot of my clients is that when they get to the scale that you're at, they can hire some of the people who've been in big roles in the billion-dollar businesses, but the fit issue is harder there because they come convinced that they know how to do things, but they may not have your philosophy and your ethics and your passion and your, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I think that second wave of hiring, where you're at now, is actually harder than the first ones.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's where you want to have a match of your compassion.
Yep.
Because my compassion, my zest to continue to grow, and my commitment to the program that we're supporting in the healthcare staffing, yep. human capital management consulting, Head Start program, has not diminished a bit.
Yep.
So I want to make sure I'm transferring that kind of a commitment and compassion to them also.
I found in our case, and it was just us, that hiring people who were from the client side actually was more productive for us than hiring from the competitor side. Because we would be bringing in people who didn't get the culture, because if they did, they would have been us in the first place. I want to make
sometimes
sure that
sometimes it does work.
Yeah, I know. I'd like people to hear the contact information from you, because believe it or not, we're down to 2 minutes. So I want to make sure that they know how to reach you. Michelle, where would they reach you?
You can reach me by email, Michelle Lee, so M-L-E-E at stginternational.com. Sam Tom George, stginternational, all spell out, .com.
And is there any phone number they could use?
Yes. Our number in the office is 703-578-6030.
That's
again,
wonderful.
The phone number is 703-578-6030.
I appreciate that. And folks, if you know my name, it's easy to get me. Aldona@ambler.com. Aldonna at amble.com. And the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-ALDONA. With multiple companies, I just ended up with too many phone numbers. So the people who are dealing directly with me, that's the number you get. My wish for you as listeners, as it is every week, is for accelerated growth with sustained profitability. And remember, the secret to that phrase is to reverse it. First, you need to know what drives your profitability, and that's what Michelle's been saying. Can you sustain it? When you know how to sustain it, then you can look at your growth strategies like acquisitions and bigger accounts and ramping up and geographic expansion. And when you pick a few of those that fit you, then you can accelerate. This is the Growth Strategist, Aldona Ambler, signing out.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into The Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.